weekend so far. For those who noticed that I was not here last Sunday, thank you for your prayers and concerns. Trust me when I tell you I would have rather been here. Won't explain it. But anyway, thank you for being here and for praying for me. Also, got a good chance to watch online. That was kind of cool. Listen to Pastor Isaac's message, and encourage you, if you didn't hear that, go online and get that. It's just it's a real faith builder for you to understand and trust a powerful God to move in our lives, and that's awesome. So, and also wanted to let you know, after our second service, we're going to go out and back and do like a groundbreaking of our new property, I mean, of our building out there and all that. We didn't get a chance to do that because they tore the concrete out and they started, bam, the same day. That they got to moving right away. So, but this today is going to be a great day. We're going to get out there and get a chance because next week they're pouring concrete and we're on a roll. So it's going to be fun. If you'd like to, come on back. It'll be right after the second service. We're going to actually start moving out of here about 11:20, get all of our kids and head out there to the back. And there's going to be a way to get around the backside here, and we're all going to go around the back, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So come on back and join us for that if you can. It'd be awesome. Well, let's go ahead. I want to jump right in this morning to the second part of my message titled, God Bless You. Look at your neighbor and say, God bless you. Our text this morning is found in Numbers chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verse 22 through 27. And I'm pretty sure by looking around in here that most of you have read this or heard this passage of Scripture quoted or read one time or another in your life, and we're going to be looking at this and bringing out some, what I would consider to be some important things for us to understand. So in Numbers chapter 22, and it begins like this, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Last time we were together, we began to explore the meaning and the power of a blessing, specifically as it pertains to this particular prayer and blessing given from God to Moses, from Moses to Aaron and his sons, and then through the mouth of Aaron and his sons to the Hebrew people. If you think about it, when they did this particular blessing, there were millions of people. They didn't have loudspeakers to be able to amplify this blessing, amplify what they were saying. So in my mind, I can see these people, the priests who got this command of God, walking through the crowds of people in groups over a course of time, speaking this to the people. As they walked through the crowds, Aaron moved among the people and began to pray for them, began to bless, speak this blessing upon them, and they went through the millions of people sharing this blessing from God, from the mouth of Moses, from God to Aaron, to his sons, and they began to walk and spend. How long would it take you to speak this blessing to millions of people? Over a course of a couple of hours, maybe, that they walked and shouted it out and spoke it to people. God wanted this brought upon them. The concept or the word blessing or blessed is familiar to most people. We see it, we hear it, we use it in our everyday communication in one form or another. It's a word that we see all through the Bible. There are many words translated in the Hebrew and the Greek for the word blessed or blessing. We don't have time to explore all of those, but the main thought, according to many of the translators of this particular passage concerning this word blessed, we talked about last time I was together with you, it says, is spiritually prosperous, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. That blessing is what God wanted that result to be for the people of Israel, that other nations would see what happens when you live under the blessing of God. He wanted other nations to see the result of a covenant with the Creator, that other nations would look at them and envy the relationship that it would draw them to God. This particular blessing is what was called a priestly blessing. A priestly blessing is a blessing that is ordained or endorsed by God Himself. It is, as one translation of the Bible says this, it's a special blessing with God's name on it. I mean, think about that. How many of us would love to receive that kind of a gift delivered to your front door, signed your Father, the Almighty God? Somebody comes up, knocks on the door, an angel delivers this blessing to you straight from God, wouldn't we? Well, in this prayer, in this blessing, there are several requests that we have. There are several requests that if we have these specific requests granted to us, then we can do without all the other blessings. And then what I mean by that is this. It's like asking, do you want the bushel of apples or do you want the orchard? See, this blessing, these words, and understanding this relationship brings about a different result than just praying for good health or praying for a new job or God bless me with this, bless me with that. This is an open door to understanding the entirety of how God operates in this world and even in our lives. First request of this blessing we looked at, and it was this, it says, the Lord keep you. In other words, it was a prayer of protection. We studied that together the last time we were together, and then we get to the request or the pair of requests that we see in verse 25 and 26, and it is this, it says, the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the prayer for God to keep us, we saw a prayer of protection. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord protect you from evil. The Lord protect you from the evil one. In the same way that Jesus' prayer that He taught His disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer as it's called, is a prayer in there to protect them and us from the evil one. Now we see a request for the presence of God, not just His protection now, but His presence. It says, the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And then the parallel verse in verse 26, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. These two verses carry some incredible and significant meaning that is really hard to put into a single phrase or a word like the first one, the Lord keep you. These phrases interact with each other, and there's great depth to these words, and I want to encourage you after this sermons that I've done here, take some time and study these words on your own in more depth, because I know that if you do, you will receive some incredible application to your daily life and in your relationship with God if you will do that. So as we look at this, the second and the third request that is brought out here, I kind of put it in a way that helps you understand its application in our life. So in your handout there, you'll see I put that. Number two, the Lord smile on you with favor. The Lord smile on you with favor. Number three, the Lord approve of you and give you rest. And give you rest. That word peace is translated a tranquil state, like rest. It's really translated more of a rest, not just peace inside, but a rest, a not laboring in your own self to try to perform and be perfect, but resting in God's goodness and in our lives. Let me read it to you in the Amplified Classic Version, which I put in your notes there, and I want to encourage you, read it over and over and over. It's incredible. And it says this, the Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up His approving countenance upon you and give you peace, the tranquility of heart and life continually. and they shall put my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them. Now let's talk about this for a little bit. If you'll read chapter 33 of the book of Exodus, you'll see when God said to Moses, if you want to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, you know, he said, I want you to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and I'm going to give you provision. I am going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. God gave a list of things, and one of those things that he listed, he said to Moses, I'm going to send my angel to go with you. And Moses said, wait a minute. Lord, what about your presence? I appreciate the angel going with us, but I want you to go with us. I want your presence to go with us. It's like he said to the Lord, if we have all of your gifts and all of your blessings, but we don't have you, I don't want to go. I know, I have to know, Lord, that you are with us. See, so many times we can get used to doing things on our own. And God will let us do it on our own. That doesn't mean that we don't have a part to play in all of the things that we do in this earth, but understanding that if we go on our own without the presence of God, it's not a safe place. See, God's protection dwells in his presence. And when his presence is among us, that's the safest place that you could possibly be. It's so important for us to ask the Lord for others and for ourselves for God's presence to be in our lives. Just like the song that we sang this morning, it's your presence, Lord, that we want in our lives. That is the concept that is presented here when it says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The face of God means the presence of God. The presence of God. When the face of God shines upon his people, that means that God takes pleasure in his people. He smiles on them. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on Exodus, and I love this, said this, this seems to allude to the smiles of a father upon his child. The smiles of a father upon his child. It's like the kids who stand up on the stage during some of those performances that we've seen or a sporting event. What do they look for? When they stand up, what are they looking for? They want to see that smile on the parent's face. And it doesn't even matter from the parent's perspective how well they did. And really, it's the one that we really get a kick out of is the one that kind of is the center of attention. Everybody laughs at that one kid or the kid that played in a sporting event for a long, long time and finally gets up to bat or finally makes a shot in a game after years of playing, never got in a game, finally gets in the game, makes the shot. He looks for the parent, looks for the coach, looks for somebody's face of approval. Don't we individually spend so much of our lives looking at the faces of the people around us who we want that approval from? We want people's approval. A person's face tells a lot. What does yours say? What does our face say? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 15 says, in the light of a king's face, there is life. And his favor is like the clouds that bring the spring rain. What a wonderful example or passage of scripture to explain what we're talking about. We want to look at those in authority, those who we care about. We want to see their face, that it's okay. We want them to say to us, you're acceptable. You can come into my presence. The prayer here is not for just the pleasure from a human face, but for the pleasure of God's face, to know that God is looking on us, that God is pleased, that he is smiling on his people as a father smiles on his children. We also read in the book of Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, it says that God spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I want you to think about that. God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. It's a sign of you're welcome to come into my presence. I welcome you to be here with me. If we remember that story, the first time that Moses met God up on the mountain and he told Moses to take off his shoes because the ground where God was holy, was pure. God came and met him. The presence of God was there. As we think about the face of God, we also realize that in this life, being what it is, we have to deal sometimes with the frowns of other people around us. You should stand up here sometime. I can tell what's going on in people's lives every Sunday morning. But you know what? We think about that. Other people, they may reject us. It may be that your parents never looked at you with favor. And that may be a memory that you have, a picture that you even have to this day. You never got that approving look from a parent. It may be that your husband doesn't smile upon you or your wife doesn't look at you with favor. But I want to tell you, if you have the smile of God, you can survive the frowns or the rejections of any human being's face. Because we can't spend our lives looking and wanting human approval. Nothing wrong with that, but the approval that we need to go after is God's approval. That doesn't mean that when people don't approve of you, doesn't mean that it doesn't matter or it doesn't hurt, because it does hurt. There are many people that you can talk to through the years that they have memories of never having anyone approve of them. And it's interesting that so many children's lives, even into their adulthood, are still doing things and making decisions in life because they just want a parent to one time approve of what they do. If that can motivate a person, think about the heart of a person who is only after the approval of God. See, because ultimately the pleasure we all seek, the blessing we all need, is the smile of God upon our lives. See, that's what Moses wanted. That's what Moses, he didn't mind the angels coming. He didn't mind all of those things happening, but he wanted the presence of God in his life, the friendship with God. Think of that verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 6. It says, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, God becoming man, he was putting a human face to God. In the face of Christ, we saw the glory of God. Jesus Christ is God smiling upon his people, becoming flesh so that we could see, experience, and know the blessing and the favor of God. This prayer in Numbers chapter 6 is directly connected to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what that prayer is all about. Let me say this. The face of God can also be a very terrifying thing. See, many people don't seem to understand that there's kind of a paradox at times. You know, the Bible is full of a passage and it says the great and the terrible day of the Lord. It's great for those who are in right relationship with God, but it's going to be terrible for those who are not. And it's the same face. One, God will look upon his children in favor and blessing, and at the same time, he will turn and look at others with judgment and anger. What face do we want to see? God right now, through Jesus Christ, is smiling upon us. See, in Exodus chapter 33, in verse 20, God told Moses that if Moses saw God's face, he would die. As great as Moses was, he still couldn't look straight at God's face. As much favor that Moses had with God, he still could not look straight at God's face and survive. See, we think of the face of God as brilliant, holy, and light. And what does light do to darkness? It exposes it. It exposes it. You turn on the light in a dark place, and you may start to see the insects, the worms, and the things that start to come crawling or scurrying out from cover. Some things don't like to be exposed by the light. God's face, when his face shines upon us, can be a pleasant experience, a very heartwarming and blessed experience. But also, it can be an experience that shows the depths of our human weakness. and the need that we have for God in our lives. We're dealing with the one who does see right through us, before whom all things, the Bible says, are naked and exposed in his sight. Remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned against God, what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. The word presence in Genesis is the same word in Numbers chapter 6 that is translated face or countenance. It's the same word. The Bible tells us they hid themselves from the face of God. It's like they said, don't look on us. We can't bear your sight. Don't look at us. You've seen this maybe with yourself when you were kids or with your children when they do something wrong. They don't want to look in your eyes. Why? They don't want to see disappointment. They don't want to see sorrow. They don't want to see sadness. Sometimes when we come into the presence of God, we can't look at him because of what things we hold on to in our lives. Yes, we have a great relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. But we still need to let God deal with things in our lives. I want to encourage you, parents, be careful that your approval of your children is not just based on their performance. Because we represent God to them. And whenever we only show approval to our children because of their performance, that's the way they see God. And that isn't the way God wants you to see him. Because Jesus did it for us. Jesus did it for us. Are we ever, think about it, can we ever perform well enough to be truly 100% pleasing to God all the time? No. Because if we could have, Jesus would not have needed to die. But he did. When we're guilty before God, having his face shine upon us isn't always fun. That's why we need the blessing that comes in verse 25 when it says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. He didn't say, and be angry and mean. It said, may the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That word grace is like being in God's good graces. How have you ever heard that? See, in that relationship, that's what we get. Psalm 67 and verse 1 says, God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. God be gracious to us, have mercy on us. We need your grace. God gives his grace or favor, now listen, to empower us to become like Christ. Numbers chapter 6, when you look at all the Old Testament, it is a reflection of what God wants us to be in Christ in the New Testament. This prayer of blessing is a prophetic word about Jesus Christ and the result of our relationship with him, that all of these things happen. I mean, I find it fascinating that these people lived under the law, under performance-based religion, in a covenant with God, but yet everything about this prayer is all based on God's love for them and a blessing to them. And he's showing them what's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes to the world. See, this prayer, this priestly blessing in Numbers chapter 6, finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ and his followers, or the children of God. See, without a relationship with Jesus Christ, these words have no lasting significance. They're only applicable to you and I who are in right relationship with God. I could speak these over every single person that I could come to, and they're going to fall on deaf ears unless Jesus Christ is in the middle of it. See, in verse 27, lastly, God says, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. See, who really were the children of Israel? Who were they? Was it just a race of people, Or was it a group of people who made a decision to put their faith in the promises of God about Jesus Christ coming? Those were God's covenant people. Those were the ones that this name was going to be upon them. And guess who they are? See, what name blesses us? What name? Only one. The name of Jesus. This prayer is a blessing, and the name of Jesus is upon us. That's what God wanted more than anything. Not the name of this church, not our human name, but the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for this blessing. I thank you that it brings light and favor to all of us when we live in it and we walk in it. But we thank you, Lord, that this blessing is available to us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Without him, we have no hope. And I thank you, Lord, that even all the way back in those days, thousands of years ago, you were speaking that Jesus Christ was coming to this world and he was going to bring favor and grace and approval and peace and rest to all of us, that we would not have to labor in our own performance-based goodness, but we could rest in God's love for us through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we just thank you for this today. And we speak this blessing to each other, and we speak this to ourselves each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.